Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, here we are, 2020. Have you taken a moment to just let that sink in? It's the years do roll by. But as with every turning of the year, as with every celebration of New Year's, there are resolutions and promises to start anew, opportunities to become again what we would like for us to embody in our lives. I'm sure this year is like any other, when many of us have, at least in our minds, maybe not out loud, maybe not in a way that forces us to be accountable, but perhaps in our minds, says to ourselves, maybe I'll try something new. Maybe I'll commit myself in a new kind of way. This purpose, this sense of intentionality in our world, this idea that our lives are not just fleeting, but have reason for being in this space, in this time, is important to us. It's important to us as people living in this world. It's important to us as people who look to God as one who has called us into being, who has given us these bodies and this world to live in, given us this opportunity to step into a new year once again. The dictionary, at least one dictionary, says that purpose is this: the reason for which something has been created or is done or exists. The purpose of our lives, what we have been created for, how God intends us and hopes for us and in us and through us to be a part of this world. It makes me think not only just of our individual lives, but as our lives as a church. What is the purpose of this thing that we call the church? Whether we think of that as Bethlehem Lutheran Church or the Lutheran Church or the church as a whole, encompassing so many different denominations and forms, or perhaps the way that God moves and works in so many people around the world. How is it that God calls us into being in new ways? Of course, the church is not just a building, but it is those people of God, however they are gathered in our world, in our communities, in our place. How is it that God has called us to be those people? Not just the people who exist, but the people who have intention, who have agency, who have a calling to live and love and serve in this world for the sake of others. As we find ourselves serving in our community, or as we worship and pray, as we give of our own time and our own energy and abilities for the sake of others, even perhaps if it means standing up for what is right, standing up for justice, protesting against the injustice of our world, standing up as a bulwark to say, enough is enough. All of these ways that we live and act and be in the world has to do with what our purpose is. I remember as we talked about this way back so many years ago now when I was in seminary, that one of my professors impressed upon us that of all of the ways that we talk about the purpose of the church, the purpose of the church, he says, can be summed up in the little phrase, to raise the dead. I think he might have been talking particularly about preaching and about our job as future leaders in the church to go out there and share that word. But I think it also encompasses everything that we're about here as, as a community of God. Not only the words that I speak, but the words that we all speak in the community, the actions that we commit ourselves to in our community, in our families, with our friends, with neighbors, with strangers, with all of the ways that we live and breathe and have life in our world. We are about the business of what God has made us to be, that purpose of the church being to raise the dead that are among us, that are walking among us even, who may not even know the death that they carry in them. Perhaps when I say that phrase, to raise the dead, we think firstly to that idea that the job of the church is to make sure that people get to heaven. And it's not that that's not part of the plan, part of the process, part of the purpose of why we exist. But I don't think it's necessarily the whole purpose, and certainly not the purpose today, as we encounter others in our community, as we encounter each other coming here today, and have the opportunity to share those words and those actions and that gift of life. Even as we go about doing all of the things that we do, we are in the business of raising the dead, of communicating and sharing and in fact giving of our own life that God has given us so that others might live in their bodies, live in their minds, live in their souls, not just when they get to heaven, but today in the presence of this one who has come among us. Because our job isn't just to get happy people to heaven, but that those who are in any way in need might see that heaven has come to them. Heaven has embraced not just us who believe, not just us who have the inside information, but all who suffer, who cry out, and who are heard by God. This is the message that we hear in Jeremiah today, in the story of the Israel people who have found themselves scattered in exile and crushed beneath the injustice and the intolerance of an imperial regime. But here, late in the book of Jeremiah, this word of ransom, this word of redemption, where God says, I have ransomed Jacob, another name for Israel, right? I have ransomed Jacob and have redeemed him from the hands too strong for him. Do you see the gift, the new life, the death that God is working at restoring, even here in this little section of this part of Jeremiah? It's because that's what God does. That's God's purpose in our world, in our lives. And that's the purpose that God gives to us. Not just to set people on a road and say, well, you know, if you head on down this way, you might kind of come close to where God is, and if you're really good at it, you might figure it out too. But to bring that message of God close, even wrapping God around one another and saying these words, like were said to the people of Israel in Jeremiah, I will turn your mourning into joy. God will comfort you and give you gladness where there has been sorrow. The purpose of the church is to be that voice, to be that life that is God living and breathing and acting in our world. It's the work that is depicted in the wonderful new movie, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. If you have not seen this little movie, you have to go see this. Every man, woman, child, old, young, I don't care, either way, has to go see this movie to remind yourself that kindness and goodness are the real forces of power for change. The movie is about, it's based on the real-life story of journalist Tom Junot and his friendship with Mr. Rogers. Tom is depicted as the character Lloyd Vogel in the movie, and Lloyd in the movie is a very sad, very angry, very cynical individual because of things that have happened in his life, because of relationships that he has had that have not gone well, that have been hard to structure, have been hard to understand and to continue to deal with. And so Lloyd has become a person that is not very fun to be around. There is death in Lloyd. There is death in his relationships, the ones that have gone before and the ones that are even present in his life. There is death in his career as he continues to struggle at being the best he can be. There's death inside of Lloyd and his care for himself and for his understanding of a future hope. There's death there until Lloyd meets Mr. Rogers. And Mr. Rogers, in that way that I'm not going to say only he can, because I do believe that all of us can do this. But that way that Mr. Rogers taught us to, maybe as we were kids, maybe through our kids, as we journeyed with them. Mr. Rogers befriends Lloyd and reminds him of his purpose and of the inherent goodness and kindness that is in him and every person. There's a wonderful little scene towards the end of the movie, and I don't think I'm giving anything away by sharing this with you, but Lloyd and Mr. Rogers sit at a little cafe, and Lloyd, he's figured things out here by now. He's still on the journey, but he's coming to understand what all of this might mean. He says, "Mr. Rogers, Fred," he calls him, "Fred, you love people like me, don't you?" And Mr. Rogers says, "What are people like you?" Lloyd says, "Broken people." And it's at that moment that Mr. Rogers looks Lloyd in the eye and says, "I don't think you're broken." And in that moment, new life springs forth. Life where there was death, purpose where there was apathy, opportunity to continue to love and share in our world where before there was only grief and sadness. The gospel says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Or as Eugene Peterson in his Message translation likes to say, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood, moved into our Mr. Rogers neighborhood. The Word has embraced us. There is the hope and the certainty of that day when we will come face to face. And that is a precious and a wonderful hope. But today, there is an opportunity for us, for one another, for those that we meet out in our world, for our families, for strangers, even perhaps for those who we have called our enemies, to gather around this purpose of God in community and love and goodness and kindness for one another. The purpose that God has given us is that not only we, but all who we embrace might experience the raising of the dead. Thanks be to God. Amen.